Genealogy by Tim, Season 5, Episode 3, recorded March 29th, 2025. More research into Joseph Hogendobler's land records? The Gramps Project releases version 6 of its classic open source genealogy software. But the big story on Genealogy by Tim this month, a 2-week outage in my web server, was recently corrected. All that coming up on Genealogy by Tim. We'll start with the big story. My web server was down for a little over 2 weeks, beginning March 9th, and finally being resolved on March 26th. I typed in the URL to check up on it, and it said, could not find the site, nor it gave whatever is the generic error message you get when the server's down. I was at work at the time, and when I got home from work, I tried pressing the power button, long pressing, double pressing, but that power would not turn on. So I thought, either the server's dead entirely, or maybe it's just the power supply that's dead. So I had a choice. I could either just buy a new power supply or buy a whole second server. And of course, when your hobby is running computer servers, you can never have too many. So I went for option B and bought a whole new server. And that process took a little while. I bought it from Amazon. Same model. Hunson fanless server. Model FMC/BM14. I'm surprised they were still selling them, because when I first upgraded my server 2 years ago, that was Hunson's current offering at the time, and you know how these tech things go. Once a thing becomes obsolete, you can't really get it. But I was fortunate to get the same model, and this is good because if one of them dies, parts are interchangeable, and it makes cloning the hard drive of one machine to another easy. So I bought the whole second server. I thought, hey, if it's just the power supply, then when I get the new power supply for the new server, I'll plug that into the old server and see if it works. And if it does work, then hey, the server's up and running again. All I gotta do is buy a second new power supply for the new server, plug that in, and then I'll have two servers. And in the worst case scenario, the original server went kaput, will not turn on no matter what, and in that case, well hey, I have a replacement server. So either way, I thought buying a new server was a good idea, and when I got the package, well, let me tell you first about the waiting. So I bought this on Amazon. It gave a delivery window of March 19th through March 25th. And on March 19th, I checked out my Amazon order, did some tracking, and it said, oh, it's going to arrive today. It's out for delivery. It did not arrive on March 19th. And then the 20th, it said, out for delivery. Package expected to arrive today. March 20th. No package. March 21st, out for delivery. Should arrive today. And at that point, I went to the Amazon package tracking website. I clicked on the contact the seller, and there was a little bot to talk to. And I said, I'm having trouble tracking a package. And the bot responded, well, it's not March 25th yet. If you haven't received the package by March 29th, contact us again. And I was like, all right, it seems a little fishy to me. It keeps telling me that the thing's going to arrive today. It doesn't arrive. So I was like, all right. March 25th comes around, new server arrives. It's like, you just barely made it. But it was within the predicted window of delivery, so I can't complain. So I got the new server, opened it up, grabbed the power supply from the new server, plugged in the old server. Poof! It lit right up, and I was back online. And of course, I had 2 weeks of updates I had to go back and perform, but that was a fun little task. So as of March 26th, server is back up fully online, and I'm ready to record this month's podcast. So I do have a new server. All right. While the old server was down, I was able to clone the hard drive. This is a NVMe solid-state hard drive. So that cloned hard drive is going to go into the new server. I still have to buy RAM for it, and I still have to buy... I have a kind of a backup SATA solid-state hard drive that I got in these machines, too. I got to buy that. And, of course, the new power supply for the new server. And then once that's done, I'll have two servers, which will be cool. It'll be a good place for me to experiment with things before going live. With only one server, there isn't like a whole lot of experimenting that I can do that doesn't go live immediately. I mean, how do I test it but to launch it and see what it does? But with a second server, I kind of have the freedom to install things, check them out on my local network before making them public on the internet. So that'll be cool. And then also, one thing I really want to experiment with this new server is backup software, which I've been going a couple years now without making regular backups of that hard drive. And it was really good that I was able to clone the other hard drive while the server was down. So I do have a nice fresh backup. That's good. And hopefully within a couple weeks' time, I'll have a whole second server running. As far as research goes this month, I spent most of my research time on FamilySearch.org and also deeds on the Lancaster County website, researching the land records of Joseph Hogendobler, who was born in 1782 and died in 1850. And the reason this is interesting is because I'm working on my Genealogical Society of Pennsylvania First Families application, and there's a link that's not very strong from one generation to another. And this occurs around the birth of an ancestor of mine, Catherine Hogentogler, who married John Klein. Catherine was born in 1813 to Joseph Hogendobler and Mary Highstand. And in order to prove lineage, dating all the way back to Nicholas Hogendobler, who came to America in the mid-1700s, in order to prove my lineage all the way back there, I have to make this link with as close to primary documents as I can find. And one of those links is the birth of Catherine Hogentogler to Joseph Hogendobler in 1813. And I looked at the Lancaster County Historical Society in all kinds of church records for the baptism of Catherine in 1813, but came up empty-handed. And not only did I find no baptism record for Catherine, but I didn't find any baptism records for any of her siblings. She has 5 brothers and sisters, 6 children altogether in this family. And I couldn't find any of their baptism records. So it could have been performed at some church that's now lost. I don't know. But in any case, without that document, there's kind of a break in the lineage. Now, the only source that I have that Catherine Hogentogler was a daughter of Joseph Hogendobler and his wife, the former Mary Highstand, is a county history. It was published in 1903 and called Biographical Annals of Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, containing biographical and genealogical sketches of prominent and representative citizens and many of the early settlers. And this was compiled by a man named John Franklin Meginess. Not quite sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but it's Meginess. And this is one of the go-to resources for Lancaster County genealogy. The trouble with it is that, as far as I know, it was compiled by conducting interviews with residents of Lancaster. And sometimes memory fades, sometimes memory is inaccurate. So this resource, as useful as it is not acceptable by the Genealogical Society of Pennsylvania for official First Families Lineage Society purposes. So I'm looking for an alternative document. The baptism record of Catherine from 1813 is not to be found, but I did find, using FamilySearch.org's full-text search feature, I did find among Lancaster County's deeds a deed of assignment. And I'm not entirely sure how to describe this document, but he's declaring his assignees. This is Joseph Hogendobler. Document was drawn up in 1847. Joseph died in 1850, so this was written up in preparation of Joseph's impending demise. And he is naming family members to whom he's leaving his estate, his land, but also reserving for himself a certain area, a certain room of the house that he's made his room while he is alive and living there. And this document names several of Joseph's children. So, for example, Joseph is setting aside a certain amount of money for his own personal use and benefit and to pay off just debts and the like. But he goes on to say, the residue or balance thereof, if any remaining, shall be annually paid and distributed to and amongst my five children, as follows, to wit, 1/5 thereof, to each of my children, Jacob B., John, Catherine, the wife of John Klein, and Mary, the wife of Henry Zimmer, their heirs and assigns, and the other 1/5 to Jacob M. Grider, his attorney or assign, in trust for the use of my son Joseph, as is hereinafter mentioned in the respect of his share, payable after my decease. So there was a young Joseph who received money in trust through a gentleman named Jacob Grider, but then all the other children were adults and or married, and Catherine, wife of John Klein, is specifically mentioned in there as a daughter of Joseph Hogendobler. So this document is going to form the basis of the link, where I don't have a baptism record to show that Catherine was born to Joseph Hogendobler and Mary Highstand. I do have this land document in which Joseph Hogendobler is naming his assignees, and one of them is Catherine, wife of John Klein. The only trouble with this document is that this was drawn up after Catherine's mother and Joseph's wife, Mary Highstand, died, so she's not mentioned in this document. And it could be argued that maybe I've got the wrong Joseph Hogendobler. I think it's unlikely, because I don't think there are that many Joseph Hogendoblers out there. All of the Joseph Hogendoblers I have in my family tree are descended from this Joseph Hogendobler, the one who is my direct ancestor. Another Joseph, a Joseph Jr., is mentioned in this document. He's the one who's receiving money in trust through Jacob M. Grider. There was another Joseph Hogendobler who was an uncle of this Joseph Hogendobler, the one I'm researching. He moved out to Milton in Northumberland County, Pennsylvania, probably around or before the turn of the 19th century. So I don't think it's likely that a deed for the Joseph Hogendobler that I'm researching in Lancaster would be confused for one of Joseph Hogendobler of Milton, Northumberland County. I really don't think there are any other Josephs for whom this land record might be confused. But for the sake of completion, I would like to be able to tie this land document to Joseph Hogendobler and his wife, Mary Highstand. And if I can do that, then I believe my evidence would be complete and unassailable. So I'm looking in the historical deeds. If there are any that list Joseph as the grantee of this land, and perhaps we can tie it to his wife Mary being there, or some other indication that this Joseph Hogendobler is the husband of Mary Highstand, and that Catherine, wife of John Klein, is the daughter of them both. So that's what I've been looking for. And as I go into the Lancaster County deeds on the website of the government of Lancaster County, I find two potential deeds for which Joseph Hogendobler is a grantee. Either or both of them may be in reference to this same land document that was drawn up in 1847. There is an 1803 deed in which Andrew Straub and others granted land to a Joseph Hogendobler. There's an 1836 deed in which a Abraham Kaufman granted land to a Joseph Hogendobler. And that one's interesting because there is a Jacob Highstand also listed as a grantee. So that could have been a brother-in-law, a brother of Mary Highstand, or a father-in-law, father of Mary Highstand. I'm not sure because I don't know much about her family. There's an 1835 deed in which some Hogendoblers, John Samuel Jacob and others, granted land to other Hogendoblers, Joseph, Nicholas, Elizabeth, and others. And then lastly, there's an 1818 deed in which a Jacob Druitt granted land to a Joseph Hogendobler. So I'm looking at these deeds, and I'm looking to see, is this the same land that was mentioned in the later deed of 1847? And if so, was Mary Highstand mentioned in the deed, or is it known that Jacob and Mary live there together. And once I have this information, that'll be pretty much ironclad proof that Catherine Hogentogler, wife of John Klein, is the daughter of Joseph Hogendobler and Mary Highstand, and that will complete the necessary links going all the way back to Nicholas Hogendobler, who came to America in the mid-1700s, and hopefully earned me membership into the Genealogical Society of Pennsylvania's First Families Lineage Society. I've only gotten started analyzing these deeds. I've just started transcribing the Jacob Druitt deed, but I'll be spending a lot of time over the next couple of weeks transcribing all of the deeds I just mentioned and analyzing them for any trace of Joseph's wife Mary that would complete this family group. Now, in the process of doing all this research into Hogendobler deeds and trying to determine where the referenced land was or is within the county of Lancaster, I stumbled across this website called Lancaster County PA GIS Hub. GIS stands for Geographical Information System. And this website has several maps of Lancaster County. And these maps get pretty specific with plot numbers, addresses, and all those kinds of things. One section of the site that's specifically of interest to me is the Historical Images application. And this is kind of as close as I have found so far to a Lancaster version of PhilogeoHistory. And PhilogeoHistory is an amazing site that overlays old maps on top of current Google Maps. But this Historical Images application within the Lancaster County PA GIS Hub, it has an Atlas 1864 map overlaid on top of a Google map of Lancaster County. And also, if you click on certain areas, it will take you to a link to a warranty map of Lancaster County. And these warranty maps, as far as I can tell, were developed in the 1930s based on information available about the early settlers of Lancaster County. So I was able to find my ancestor, John Hagentogler, in this map. But this could be a very useful genealogical resource that I have not yet seen. This is new to me this month, these warranty maps. But I will link to this site, the Lancaster County PA GIS Hub, as well as the Historical Images application within that site, as I found those to be very interesting and very useful. For our third and final segment this month, I was pleased to have noticed that the Gramps Project has released version 6 of its long-running open-source genealogical software. This is the genealogy software that I've been using since almost the beginning of my genealogy journey. Version 5 of that software was released in 2018. So it's been a good 7 years or so since we've seen a major version bump with a new version number. We've gone from 5 to 6 here. And I just installed it yesterday. I've been working with it. So far, so good. I'll link in the show notes, of course, to the announcement at grampsproject.org where it lists the feature improvements and bug fixes. Now, I installed this on my Gentoo Linux operating system. And one thing I noticed there is that the Gramps Project at Gentoo does not have a maintainer. So the latest version of Gramps available through the Gentoo repositories is 5.2.3. Now I'm going to nerd out for just a second here. I updated an e-build for Gentoo that would allow me to install version 6.0, at least on 64-bit computers. And I've done that, and it works out. So maybe I can try my hand at being the Gramps genealogy software package maintainer for the Gentoo repository. I don't know if I'm quite up to it. I don't know if my e-build coding skills are quite up to snuff. I've gotten it to work for 64-bit computers like mine. Getting it to work for 32-bit computers has proven a challenge. but if that's possible, I'd like to figure that out. If I figure that out, then I can maybe contact the maintainers team and say, hey, I would like to maintain this e-build for the Gentoo repository. But anyway, it's kind of nerdy, but I just thought I'd throw that out there as, you know, another interest of mine where genealogy meets tech. If I make any progress on that, of course, you'll hear about it next month. I wouldn't hold my breath, but hey, I'll look into it. And of course, if you, dear listener, would like to become the package maintainer for Gramps Project at Gentoo's repository, feel free, go right on ahead. Don't let me stop you. I will put a link to that in the show notes. And that is all I have for you this month. Thank you for listening. Of course, I'm Tim. This is Genealogy by Tim. My site is back up online, genealogybytim.com, webtrees.genealogybytim.com for my full family tree. You can email me, tim@genealogybytim.com. If you're listening to this, I would like to hear from you next month on the podcast. I will probably have much more of my application for First Families of Pennsylvania completed and printed. So look for updates on that. You never know, though. You never know which surprise direction you're going to be led to. So we'll see all about that in a month's time. Until then, keep on digging. Your next family history adventure awaits.